Good morning, everybody.
Good
to be back out here again this morning. I tell you, if you would, turn to Numbers, the 32nd chapter. I'm going to read one verse. When you find it, it's the sixth verse, but if you would stand in reading of honor of God's word this morning. Whenever Sean was up here teaching this morning, some of what he said, the first of it, I had a half edition to say, you preach it, Sean, because that's what I'm preaching on this morning. But anyway, if you would, just Numbers, the 32nd chapter, the sixth verse. And Moses said unto the children of Gad and to the children of Reuben, shall your brethren go to war, and shall ye sit here? Let me say it again. Let me read that again. And Moses said unto the children of Gad and to the children of Reuben, shall your brethren go to war, and shall ye sit here? Let us pray. Fathers, we come, Lord, this morning. I come, Father, with thanksgiving in my heart, Lord, thanking you, Father, for what you've greatly done in our lives, Lord, and what you've done for the church. I pray, Father, this morning, Lord, that as we go about our daily walk of life, Lord, Father, that we would take the message with us, Father, and that, Lord, we would use it for you and for the upbuilding of your kingdom. Lord, we want to praise you for your spirit. We want to thank you for your son, Jesus, that died upon that cross, Lord. We're getting ready to celebrate that here in a few weeks, Lord, and Father, we want to praise you for that. And as Rodney said this morning, that is the greatest event that's ever happened to mankind, and we believe that and we will stand upon that. We ask you, Father, now to anoint the message this morning, Lord. I pray, Father, for all that's said and done here, that we would give you the praise, give you the glory for it all in Jesus' name. And amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you. If you're like me, you probably remember the four-letter acronym WWJD years ago. Back whenever it first came out, I know it was. They had appeared on merchandise of all kind back in about the 1990s. It was very popular among the Christian youth groups at the day. And during that time, of course, it meant what would Jesus do? We all know what it meant. Why I bring this up for? I was reading an article about it here the other day. I was reading about how that the phrase originally originated, or where it came from. A youth pastor. I think it was out somewhere out in the Midwest out there. A guy by the name of Dan Seaborn is the one that came up with it when he created the phrase in like 1989, whenever he came up with it, or 1988, sometime around that time frame, to remind the teens of their commitment they made to following Jesus. That's what he came up with it about. He wanted something that would remind the teenagers of that time, his teen group, what it was for, of their commitment that they had made to Jesus. By the way, it grew from 35 teens that were in his group who had made it on homemade wristbands, that what would WWJD, what would Jesus do, to like whenever the Family Christian Bookstore started selling it, 70, and 10 years later, it was on 75 different pieces of merchandise. That's how big that it grew during that time. And may I add, the guys that invented it never got a dime out of it, by the way. And as I read this article, as I read it, a different thought come to my mind. And a different acronym come to my mind. WWJUD. And you're thinking, and God started dealing with me about this. And why I said it, what would Jesus undo in our lives? And he started, you know, there's times in my life, and maybe you feel the same way. There are things in my life that, you know what? There comes times, Lord, I need you to step in and undo some things in my life that I've let build up. I need that. I said to myself, there are things in my life that need attention. There are things that we let build up, that we let fester sometimes. And we let them build up so much that, you know what? We can't really sometimes function for the Lord the way that we should. There are things that we do. I compare this. My uncle had a pond out back of his house, and this pond was back there for years. They lived in that house since the 1940s or 1950s. But anyway, that pond was back there all this time. Well, down through the years, he neglected it. Down through the years, he became indifferent to that pond, you might say. And what had happened, it just kept filling in and kept filling in and filling in. He would never clean it out. It was to water his cattle. The last time that I was up here to look at that pond, it looked like just a creek running down through there where it had filled in that much. And it didn't happen overnight. I want you to understand that. It took years and years of this going through. He neglected it Folks, I want to be quite frank with you this morning on this. The biggest problem going on in the churches today, you know what, has to do with indifference in the churches. And I'm just going to be quite blunt with you. What I've seen is what it is indifference in the church. It means a lack of interest. It means a lack of concern. It means a lack of sympathy. It means apathy is what it means. It means whatever's going on is unimportant to some. Is what it means. When we follow ourselves, we allow ourselves to become indifferent, folks, it will affect every aspect of our life. It will do that whenever we allow that to happen. I've seen indifference in the workplace. So have you. A study done recently on marriage. And again, you know how big I am on this stuff because I read a lot of stuff concerning this stuff. Do you know what the number one reason for marriages failing was? It was indifference. That's the number one reason. The top 10, it was number one. It was because of indifference. The list of America. Indifference can tear a church apart. Jesus talked about it in Matthew 24:12 when he said this. And because iniquity shall abound, it says the love of many shall wax cold. That's what he said in his word. Because indifference leads to a lack of concern. Jesus was talking about the churches in Revelation. We all know, we go down through all the churches in Revelation. In Revelations 2 and 1, he said this, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, and who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, I know thy works, and thy labors, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. That's pretty good, is it not? I mean, if you read that, that's great. That's awesome. They've done everything they could do, and they haven't fainted. They haven't lost it. But he goes on to say, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. He goes on to say this, because thou hast left thy first love, remember therefore from whence thou hast fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. They were doing everything. Did you notice? They were doing everything that they brought. But listen, something happened. They had become indifferent to the part that really mattered. And that was the love that we are supposed to show one another. They have become indifferent to that. Becoming indifferent can happen to any of us. There's not one person in here that cannot succumb to that, to indifference. Just like my uncle's pawn, it didn't happen overnight, and it's not going to happen to you overnight as well. It'll be that thing that, you know what, you become indifferent about. It is a process that happens. That's exactly what it is. And it will be a process in your life. And right now, that same type of process is going on. It may be going on in your life right now this morning, and I do not know. You've been hurt by someone. Something has happened that you don't understand. I could go on and on. And before you know it, you have become indifferent. Indifference is one of them things, brothers and sisters, that just keeps going and going. It's insidious is exactly what it is. That's what indifference is. And the thing about it also is indifference is very common today. Very common today. We live in a culture where we can hear folks say something like this all the time. I could care less. Have you heard it? I've heard it. Matter of fact, I've heard it out of church people. I could care less. Really? Really? We live in a culture where we can hear people say this. Some people wear it like a badge of honor. They wear it like a badge of honor. Well, I could care less. And there are some people who will hold them up in high esteem for saying that kind of stuff. We're not even realizing the mindset that is destroying marriages, that is destroying homes, and is destroying this nation. Because I could care less. And unfortunately, Christians have fallen for that philosophy as well. When was the last time you've invited anybody to church? When was the last time you've witnessed to somebody? Truly witnessed to somebody. Listen, I'm asking point blank. You know what? The Lord had put it upon my heart, said, Dave, preach it with boldness. I'm talking to you with boldness this morning. When was the last time you witnessed to somebody? Truly, honestly, told them that they need Jesus Christ as their Savior and that they need to know Him as their Savior. When was the last time? Numbers 32, 6 tells them, Moses said unto the children of Gad and to the children of Reuben, shall your brethren go to war and shall ye just sit here? Listen, it's not just one person's responsibility to witness. It's not just one person's responsibility to do the work of the Lord. Listen, are you going to be like the tribes of Gad and of Reuben? As Moses said, they wanted to stay on the other side. Did you know that? They wanted to stay on the other side. They all this time, they were getting ready to go over into the promised land. And they said, oh no, we like it right here. This is where we like it. Because this is a good place for cattle. This is a good place for to raise our flocks. And Moses said, are you going to sit here while the rest of us go to war? Now, that's a question for you this morning. I'm putting it out there to you today. Are we just going to sit around while others go out and witness to the goodness and to the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? I don't think we should. I don't think we're any better than those tribes if we do that and if we think that. In his book, it was known The Town Beyond the Wall. A gentleman by the name of Eli Wiesel said that the greatest evil, and he was the greatest evil that happened that was committed during World War II was the sin of indifference by the people. That's what he said. He was a Holocaust survivor. He was in the concentration camps. And he wrote this book. It was like an autobiography. He wrote this book, The Town Beyond the Wall. And what had happened in the book, he tells this, where he was at, he was in Hungary. And he said the Germans would come to a synagogue where the Jews gathered, and they would come there and they would gather up the Jews that had gathered there, and they would take them away to the concentration camps. He got by a few times, but he noticed, he said there was a man across the street in a house. He said he was up in the window looking out and watching every time the Germans would come. He just stood there. He said there was no expression on his face. He said he watched him for a while. No expression on his face whatsoever. He watched the Germans come. He watched them grab the Jews, men, women, boys, and girls. He watched them grab them. And that man just stood there in the window, just motionless. He said this went on until he got taken away himself. He said eventually he got out of the concentration camp. By that time, if you remember right, Russia had built the wall in Berlin, and there nobody was allowed to get back in it. But he snuck back in because he wanted to talk to that guy. And well, you know what he found out? The guy just didn't care. He said he could have cared less if the Germans got killed. He could have cared less if the Jews got taken away. He was indifferent to their plight. He was indifferent to it. And he said he went and he did a lot of interviews with people at that time. And he come to find out that was the biggest sin, that was the biggest thing that was committed, was the people were indifferent to what was happening around them. Look around us today. Look around us today. Look around us. I'm saying it three times. Look around us today. Are we indifferent to the plight of those out in the world that we don't even want to go and try to get them to understand that they need a Savior? We are just, the Great Commission tells us to go into all the world. Jesus tells us how we can get out of this in Mark 4. If you would turn there with me, Mark the 4th chapter. I want to read this. When I was reading this and I was preparing this sermon, this come to me because this is a great way to break those chains of indifference in people's lives right here. And you may not even thought of it this way. Mark 4, 14 through 20. The sower soweth the word, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time afterward. When affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are those which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust, and other things entered in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, which hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth some 30-fold, some 60, and some a hundredfold. That scripture, and I want to say this to you this morning, is just as relevant today in today's churches as it was then on the day that Jesus taught it back then. It's just as relevant. Why would you ask me? Listen to it. He told his disciples, listen, it matters how you receive God's word. It matters how you receive it. But more importantly, it matters what you do with it after you receive it. It matters what you do with it after you receive it. Each scenario Jesus gives us, he deals with a different case on how the word is presented out there. People received the word. Maybe they didn't, but listen, what did you do with the word after you receive it? That is what is so important. And I strongly believe if Jesus was standing here this morning looking over this congregation, he would tell you the same thing. He would tell me the same thing. It's how we receive the word and what we do with it. Listen, it matters. Even more important, what we do with it after we receive it. It matters what priority that we put on God's word. WWJUD. Have we got to the point in our lives? Have we got to the point to where we hear the word of God? We just brush it aside, or I've heard it so many times. Listen to me. There have been times that I get into God's word and I get something out of it. You know, maybe I've read that scripture 100 times in my life, but I'll get something new out of it. I'll get something different out of it. We should not just push it to the side and let it go, because you know what? What are we doing? What would you like Jesus to undo? That sense of, you know what? I don't really need the word. I've read it enough, God. We've got to get to the points in our lives, mine included, to where, you know what? God's word is important. It needs to be important to what we send out there, to what we say. We don't let the Holy... We've got to the point where we don't let God's word speak to us. We don't let the Holy Spirit guide us. We've become indifferent to what the word of God says. What would you like Jesus to undo this morning? Are you indifferent to God's word this morning? Because if you are, I'm here to tell you this morning, Jesus wants to undo that in your life. He wants to undo it this morning. And it would be willing to let him. Would you be willing this morning to let him undo it in your life this morning? Are you willing to do that? Acts 28:27 tells us this. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest that they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. Isn't that just as plain as it could be? You know what? He wants us to hear. He wants us to see. He wants us to do all these things. And whenever we do that, whenever we hear it, and we really and truly take God's word in and let him guide and direct us, I'm here to tell you this morning, he can heal us. In a spiritual sense, he will heal us if we're willing to be healed. James tells us this. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and to doeth it not, to him it is sin. Again, I didn't write the Bible, but I believe every word of it. So if you're one of those type of people that, well, that means for somebody else. And I want to tell you this morning. I want to preach to every individual in here this morning. I don't want you to look around. I don't want you to think about the person beside of you. I don't want you to think about the person that lives down the road. I want you to think about yourself this morning. For him to knoweth to do right and to doeth it not, it is sin. I'm not going to point my finger and say it's Mike's fault. One of these days, we will stand before a just God, and I'm here to tell you, there's not a one of us that are going to be able to stand there and point our finger and say, well, that one caused me to do this, and that one caused me to do that, because that will not happen. I'm here to tell you. We answer for our own selves. God is giving us the opportunity. Today is the day of salvation. He said, therefore, not every sin is an action. Do we understand that? Not every sin is an action that we take. There are some sins that are caused because of actions we don't take. Did you know that? The sin of omission is what that is called. In the parable of the sheep and the goats, Jesus laid it out very plainly in Matthew 25:45 when he said this. When he said, then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not. Did you get that? inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. Read the scripture there, and in what he said about the goats and the sheep, how he separated. He said, well, you did it not. There are times that we don't do what God wants us to do. And I'm here to be blunt with you this morning. It is a sin. Whenever God is wanting us, whenever the word tells us, we don't have to be committing a sin against someone for it to be wrong. Actions speak louder than words. Actions will speak louder. Or James 2, for he shall have judgment without mercy that has showed no mercy. How many times have I done that? I'm going to admit my faults. He's going to have mercy. I'm going to be answered for that one of these days, Greg. I'm going to answer for that one of these days. Why, you know what? That dirty low life over there, why in the world did he do that? He deserves everything he gets. No, I deserve everything that I get. You deserve everything that you get. Amen? Jesus died for us that you and I could have salvation one day. Just for that dirty low life I'm thinking about over there, I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, listen, for we shall have judgment without mercy that has showed no mercy. Mercy rejoices against judgment. What do it profit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding, ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doeth it profit? Sean, you come to me and you say, man, Dave, I said, I need some food. Man, go ahead. I hope you get fed. I hope you do.
Good luck, Sean.
Good luck with it. And I got means to do it. I'm as wrong as a person that murders out there.
That's right. That's exactly right.
And so are you.
Yeah.
It's just listen, folks, that's the way. Again, let me ask you, how have you become so cynical you feel inaction is the best? Have you become that way? Because if you have, WWJUD, Jesus wants to undo some things in your life. He wants to undo some things because that is no way to be. We cannot be that way. No, we can't. Jesus asked us to love unconditionally. Unconditionally. There's not one of us. If we put ourselves out here, listen, I know this. You know this as well as I do. If somebody treats me good, I'm going to treat them good. Jesus went above and beyond all that, did he not? And he's calling us to do it as well. You know what? You don't want to know you want true unconditional love? Is whenever you do something for somebody and they throw it back in your face and you still love them. That's unconditional love. That's the love that Jesus Christ, that's the kind of, what if Jesus would have, I'm telling you, Sean, I would have been the first one out the door if Jesus didn't love unconditionally. And I'm sure there's a lot of you in here that could say the same thing. Unconditional love. They responded. I'll love them if they respond in the way that I want them to respond. Unconditional love is whenever you respond in a way, whenever they don't respond in a way that you think they should. What if they don't show you the same in return? But folks, because life of love is giving. That's what it said. And sometimes, I'm here to tell you, brother, it'll hurt. It'll hurt sometime. A life of love and giving, I will still act. I will still act toward their good and to their benefit, even if they don't that way with me. No matter how this person or those people respond, I'm going to respond in love. That's how Jesus wants us to do. Well, the vast majority don't act that way. We're not the vast majority. You understand? There are going to be few of us. There are going to be few that make it to heaven one of these days because narrow's the way. That's what the Bible says. That's not what I say. But broad is the way that leads to destruction. I don't know about you, but I don't want to believe anything the vast majority believes. What, no shape or form. Wherefore, come out among them and be ye separate, what the Bible says. Matthew 5, 43, 48 says this. Ye have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies and bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if we love them which love you, get this, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? What he's saying, doesn't even the world do the same? The world does that. And if ye salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. That's scripture. That's what he's trying to say. There are times that we love, our love's conditional. That's not the way Jesus wants it to be. Our love should be unconditional. Have you ever allowed yourself to fall into that trap? Always, man. I have. I've allowed myself to fall into that trap. Yes, I have. I'll just show you love just because you show love back. But the moment that you don't, I ain't going to love you no more. That's not the way it is. That's not the way it should be. Remember, and this doesn't happen sometimes overnight. Remember the pond story. It just slowly filled in. The sediment, the dirt, the stuff, the leaves, everything's filled in as time went by. And listen, it does it to our lives sometimes if we are not careful. It does it to us. It'll do it to us if we are not careful. We have to remember that. Lord, let me live. Lord, let me have unconditional love again. What would Jesus undo? Do you need that here this morning? There are times I do. You know God has allowed people to come into your world for a reason, don't you? Do you know that? There are people that have come into your sphere that God has allowed to be there, whether you know it or not. And they're there for you. They're there for you. For a reason, they're there for you. And how you interact with those people, shows you how you can love, how it shows how your love will be. The moment that I start, you know, if people in my sphere see the way that I love, and it's just a love that's not unconditional, they're not going to think anything of this. I might as well just sit here and preach to them walls right here. Right? I might as well sit there and preach to the walls. Because if I don't show unconditional love, you know what? They're not going to believe what I preach or anything else. The Great Commission Jesus gave in Matthew 28 still applies today, does it not? It still applies. It brings me back to our scripture this morning, what I read. Listen, whenever it said, you know what? Are you going to stay back here and let the rest of us go to war? Folks, I'm here to tell you this morning, we have such a great... When Jesus said this, when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers unto his harvest. There's a battle going on. There's a battle going on for our loved ones. Listen to me. For our friends, for our co-workers, there's a battle going on. And we are way too satisfied with the way that it is. We like it just the way. We become it. J. Vernon McGee said this. I got one of his commentaries down here. I read this. I thought this was good. I wrote it down. I want to read it to you. When a man prays for a good garden, the Lord expects him to say amen with a hoe. Amen? A man and woman should not pray about anything unless they are willing to do it themselves. Amen? I agree with that. Shall your brethren go to war while you sit here? I don't think so. We would go ahead and read the rest of the story. Moses told him, he said, now, I'll let you have this land, but we're going to go over and get the promised land first. Then you can come back to it. And if you don't do that, he said, sin's going to lie at the door, is what he told him. I'm here this morning to tell you, brothers and sisters, we don't go to battle by ourselves. I told you last week, I got your back, you got my back, we're going to war. Spiritual war. We should be together. We have taken Isaiah and made it say this. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Whom will go for us? And I said, there they are, Lord, send them. Is that what it says? No. Here I am, Lord, send me. Can we say that this morning? Do you have that kind of attitude this morning? Lord, here I am. You send me to do what you need done. Instead of pointing your finger and saying, well, no, they can do it. Have you become indifferent to the service of the Lord? In 2 Chronicles 24:5 it says, and he gathered together the priests and the Levites and said unto them, go out into the cities of Judah and gather all Israel's money to repair the house of our God from year to year, and see that he hastened the matter. But get this, what they said at the last of it. Howbeit the Levites hastened not. They didn't do it. They didn't do it. God's telling us to go into all the world. And you know what? We're no different than the Levites. We're sitting back and say, yeah, I'm not going to do it. Brothers and sisters, what would Jesus undo in your life this morning? When I was preparing this sermon down through the week, I'm here to tell you, again, he shows me a lot of different things that I do wrong. But I guess if you was honest here this morning, there are some things all of us need to correct and let Jesus undo. Amen? Amen. Linda, come get a song for me, please.